The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Is rock and roll music outside of Bacon Nation this morning, Kelly?
It's a concert over there.
It's a concert. We'll fight through. Drew Dinsick on the show coming up. How many different sports are we going to talk to Drew about? Preakness? A little tennis, maybe? A little golf? We have a golf major this week.
Definitely NBA.
And, of course, the NBA, right. Golf major this week, PGA, Valhalla. And Valhalla, and then the, And then the, can't do that for the French Open, which is next week. By the way, that's also with the French Open schedule. People are going to look at it and be like, is the French Open? No, French Open doesn't start till the end of next week. Tennis is second major.
Qualifiers and stuff?
Yeah, qualies starting at the beginning of next week. And I wish, you know, I wish we were back in the day where the picks in the French Open were sexier, but I do have a play on Iga Swiatek like I do in every clay tournament that she enters. Actually, every tournament that she enters. She is headed towards trying to get Madrid. Excuse me. She got Madrid last week. Trying to get the Italian Open this week into the French Open next week. So we'll talk to Drew about all those sports. Not to mention a little later on, our guy Hasselbauer to talk a little PGA golf with us at Valhalla. John Hasselbauer, who those who are unfamiliar with him, he does PGA betting and DFS content for the Lines at PGA Tout. Is his Twitter handle. Don't worry, he's in on the joke. And then Paul Sporer on baseball a little later on as well. Oh, Paul Carr, Premier League. Huge Premier League day, by the way.
Double dose of Pauls at the end of the show.
Yeah, a little Paulie there and a Paulie there. Carr and Sporer in reverse order. So we'll do that. Before we do anything, the NFL now has five games scheduled that are locked in. This is in front of the full schedule release tomorrow. Five games are out. And just real quick, Kelly, to get us the five games that are out there and the spreads that are available on all of these at a place like DraftKings. We know, we talked about this yesterday, that the opening Thursday night game is between the Ravens and the Chiefs. It's Baltimore at Kansas City. That's the opening Thursday night, September 5th. The Chiefs are three-point favorites. The total is 47.5. The next day in Sao Paulo, Brazil, this is a Friday. This is on Peacock. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, for all your streaming services. We had a Peacock game last year, right? This is the Packers and the Eagles in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Did we?
Oh, yeah, we had a Peacock game. Okay. Oh, yeah.
I know we've had Amazon games at this point, obviously, but...
No, we had a Peacock game.
Yeah, you're right.
We have a Peacock playoff game?
We're really firing on all streaming devices, yeah.
Eagles favored by 1.5 in Sao Paulo, Brazil. With the total at 48.5, that is day two of the NFL season. So again, the Thursday night opener between the Ravens and the Chiefs on Thursday night. The next day, the Packers and the Eagles in Brazil. Then the first Sunday, we have one game that we know about. That's the Cowboys at the Brownies. You want to guess the line on this one?
Oh, man, I did not look at that one yet. Cowboys-Browns?
Cowboys at Browns, opening Sunday. It's going to be one of tons of games, but it's the only one we know so far.
Man, I pick them? Got to be close to a
Browns
pick.
By one.
Browns one.
Well done, Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin guessing college lines coming back this year? 40.
So we should have done this today. Guessing lines for one.
That's
segment.
Right. That's right. We should open with guessing lines. 44.5 is the total of that game.
It is cracking me up, though. So what do we have? We have five total, right? Four of these just getting announced this morning. One we knew yesterday.
Correct.
Oh, no. We knew the Brazil game, too.
Yeah, we do that.
It is cracking me up seeing the movement on that Chiefs Ravens opener.
All right, and then the opening Monday night we have now. So this is still the opening. We still haven't gotten past the first weekend here. The opening Monday night, Jets at Niners. Aaron Rodgers on Monday night, two years in a row here. Jets at Niners. What do you think the Niners are favored by in this game?
I saw that one.
Oh. Wait, this has moved up. The Niners have taken money. This is 5.5 now.
I was going to say, on my odds board, I'm seeing sixes too, Kill. So,
oh, boy.
Get your bets in.
Still time.
I don't know. What.
Inevitably, by the way, someone gets caught at the window, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on opening Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the Monday night game. Jets at Niners. Niners favored by 5.5. And then there is one week two game, and that's the Bengals at the Chiefs. So the Chiefs open home Ravens And then home Bengals, week two. Chiefs are favored by 4 in the week two game against the Bengals. The total is 49. So the initial reaction for people will be, oh my God, what a way for the Chiefs to start their season. Home against the Ravens, home against the Bengals. The flip side of looking at that is, yeah, what if they win both of those games?
That's been cracking me up. I heard that a lot this morning. Like, we were sweating that Chiefs stretch last year.
The Chiefs gauntlet.
I mean, yeah, if they start off 2-0, oh boy.
Was the Chiefs gauntlet last year or the year before? I don't even remember anymore. Remember there was a 7-game stretch?
No, it was last year. It was last year. Right?
7-game stretch.
I forgot about the Peacock thing. You were completely right.
Yeah.
We didn't have a playoff game.
Sure did. Playoffs.
Playoffs.
So those are your 5 games so far that have been announced in the NFL season. A little palate cleanser tomorrow. The rest gets announced.
Those are two awesome games for Chiefs to start off with, but I mean, I'm interested to see what the rest of their schedule looks like now.
Those are 5 awesome games, as the NFL is awesome and the NFL consumes us, but it is a quick reminder of, oh, there's a Peacock game too, huh? Day 2? Oh, so this is going to be interesting this year.
I don't care. As long as you can clearly direct me to where to watch games, like, don't we have all this stuff by now?
I do, but I wonder if most do.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Good point.
We do, because we're so locked into stuff. But, I mean,
I feel like I'm getting to the point, though, where I'm one of the few people with cable.
I wish I hadn't left cable. I really do. You ever like, I'm so glad I left cable. Everything. I wish I had never left. And then I've heard the argument of, like, oh, boo-hoo with all the streaming services. Remember how it used to be. Well, I mean, that's not an answer, right? Going back to 1978 is not the correct response to the counter argument to streaming services.
No, we only
had 2 games every afternoon.
There was a bit of this conversation on a Pablo Torre Finds Out episode.
Oh, really?
About how basically all the streaming services are just becoming new cable. Like how we're just
That's
all
right. 'Cause
yeah, where do I go? What channel do I go to? That's all it's becoming.
Don't get me started. If you add it all up, I'm probably paying as much, if not more. Yeah.
It's disgusting how much I'm paying right now. Yeah.
They fixed this again.
I mean, cable with NBA pass, all that stuff, all the streaming services, gross.
All right, NBA last night. Little Billy Joel piano man for you, by the way, in the background. Okay, NBA last night, Celtics. Well, first of all, we found out that Donovan Mitchell was not going to play in this game about an hour before tip-off. Did that surprise you?
Oh, shocked.
Me too.
Shocked. I mean, apparently he played through this the second half of that game, the game before. But yeah, I was shocked, and as I texted you, I don't know how hurt he is, or maybe it's just, you know what, you scrubs aren't worth my future.
That leapt to mind, because he looked kind of comfortable on the sidelines. Of course, it's hard to know, right? But Celtics win by 7, 109-102, against the Donovan Mitchell-less Cavaliers. So the Cavaliers cover not only the adjusted price after his announced absence, which got to 11.5, they also ended up covering what was the number when people thought he was playing, which was 8. So Cavaliers keep it within the number. They lose by 7. I just want to say about this game, Celtics take a 3-1 lead now back to Boston in the best of 7 conference semis.
Did you hit? You got home?
I got home.
God bless NBA Penny.
I got home. It's ridiculous. I got home. But the Cavaliers had a billion chances to take a substantial lead in this game all throughout, like the third quarter. They had so many tries. I mean, they did take a lead at one point, but they had so many opportunities to have taken that and then to have taken more. And there was just so many missed opportunities, I thought. They just didn't have a player just to rely on to score. I mean, that's as simple as that.
They ran out of guys. Yeah. Like, you can't really ask much more from, I mean, gee, I'm just looking at numbers now. Mobley, Garland. I mean, Caris LeVert's kind of been a no-show. Yeah, he's 1-for-8 from 3, but still dropped 19 points. Like, They ran out of people. They ran out of gas, ran out of cars.
More interesting game, of course, the Thunder and the Mavericks. Mavericks went into the game 4 last night in their best of 7 Western Conference series, semi-series. Mavs go into it 2-1 with that lead. The Thunder get it done in the end. A 196 outright win as 1.5-point dogs. The key stat of this game is that Dallas was 12 of 23 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
12 of 23 from the line. SGA had 34. Holmgren, 18-9. Dort, 17-8. Williams, 14-9-6. In defeat, Luka, 18-12-10, triple-double, and PJ, 21-12. But can I just say this about your Mavericks? May I call them your Mavericks, who you have multiple bets
sure.
on? I am so tired of Luka whining on every damn play. I cannot be the only one with this and Luka.
I don't think you're the only one. I think that I feel like everybody picks their individual player, though. Like, it's the whole NBA.
Oh, it's not the whole NBA. It's Cat with Minnesota, right? The biggest, the chief offenders of this are LeBron James, of course.
I mean, he is.
Right, he is the king.
He is the king.
He is the evolutionary descendant of Rick Barry, who I'm too young to even remember. Rick Barry, who used to complain on everything back in the early 70s. LeBron is the king of the current day. Like, Karl Anthony Towns, doesn't matter if anyone's even within his area code, mm-hmm. he's complaining. Yeah. And Luka, I'm sorry, for as great as Luka is, enough already. He is so much more concerned with complaining to the refs than he is winning a basketball game. And by the way, I think the attitude trickles down because you have guys like Lively and PJ Washington who appear far more concerned with getting in kerfuffles and preening about stuff.
Lively's fiery. Yep.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yep. Y'all have won nothing. You're nobody in this league. Nobody knows who you are. Except for Luka. Stop it. Thunder win, and you find yourself rooting for the Thunder, if you don't have a bet on the Mavericks, of course. And we're knotted up two games apiece, headed back to OKC.
Just SGA, silent killer in this game. Again,
just so good.
Hitting everything from the mid-range down the stretch. 34 points, never lets up.
And he's the opposite, right? You have no idea what the score is when he's playing. No idea what the score
He'll give one of these once in a while. I like this.
Like a tennis player.
Where's the call?
Yeah. Great series besides the Celtics one. We'll get Drew's thoughts on all that, plus the Preakness, tennis, golf. It's all on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price, normally priced at $240. You can now grab your subscription for just $199. Signer today will also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI. 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting slips to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
Spring sale at VSiN. We're slashing prices. Just use that promo code ANG as in A numbers game. ANG.
Slashing prices. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Kelly has the used car salesman sticker on the windshield feel.
Okay, carried over from last week, right? I had like the motocross Monday.
You know how what?
Get down to the fairgrounds.
Fairgrounds. You know how we, during March Madness, we did the whole, what's the most annoying commercial breakdown? It was the SGA, Chet Holmgren, What a Girl Wants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that edged out the competition. The latest most annoying commercial, NBA playoffs.
They changed the janky phone one, by the way. They changed that one. Remember
we were discussing that?
They recognized people were not happy about it, like myself.
Right.
And they changed it. And here's the problem, though. They changed it, and then they made it worse. So now I'm the guy at home, and I'm like, oh, you shouldn't have changed this, even though I complained about it.
Any guesses? Most annoying commercial?
Now what do you got?
Where does the suit end and perk begin?
Oh, gosh, yeah. That one's really bad.
No question. No doubt. Number one. Drew Dinsick, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure he has an opinion on the subject. He's whale_capper on Twitter. He is the host of not one but two podcasts, co-host on both. Jake Croucher, NBC Sports Bet the Edge, is co-host on that one. And, of course, Dinsick Classic, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, he comes to us from the LBC. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing great, and I have plenty of opinions on commercials. If your brain isn't broken like my brain is broken to where you know the commercial break is coming up and you get on your phone preemptively and you're not even like completely detached from what's going on the screen, then you're not doing it right. I honestly don't think I've interacted I'm sure you guys probably talked about this, but when the Whopper commercial was going on and people were like tweeting about it, I'm like, what are they like Whopper? What? I completely missed me. Like I I've kind of divorced my attention to the degree where as soon as the action is not live, I'm on to something else.
Whopper. Well, I don't even know that one either. Yeah.
Oh gosh, it was a Burger King commercial ran for like 7 years. It feels like. Yeah. I know what Drew's talking about, but like, so I did this last night where you try to get cute flipping channels, right, and then getting back. But like I did that and missed like 7 points in a basketball game last night and then got really mad that I changed the channel.
Yeah. I did a lot of that last night.
Yeah. I'm just right into the group chat bitching about my bets that are losing.
All right.
I got all kinds of complaints. Can you believe that this guy's still out there? What is this coach thinking?
What is specifically from last night? Share with us. What was that?
What is Dagan out doing with Giddy in the starting lineup? What is he doing? I did not understand it in any stretch of the imagination to trot him back out there. You hadn't seen enough. You had to see his career end like that on live TV. Like, what in the world was going on with that decision making? I mean, the fact that they had other options and they didn't even try it for game four was amazing to me. They dug themselves a hole. That said, I think ultimately, you know, the overall arc that you saw from the Thunder and all of those young men kind of fighting through adversity the way they did last night was like, it was a massive step forward for
that
team.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So think about how many times, you know, okay. Great example. Grizzlies Warriors comes to mind, right? Like, I will go to my grave that the Grizzlies were the better, more talented team in that series. And they, you know, that was the right bet from the jump. But every time that they hit adversity in that series, like when the Warriors hit adversity, the vets knew what to do. It was like they had been there before, they had been in the trenches, they'd been through war, and they all just did their jobs. Nobody lost their cool. And every time adversity hit the Grizzlies, it was just like, what's going on? Why aren't the refs helping us? Like, it was like nobody really like was able to like keep their cool and like just do their job. And what you saw with the Thunder last night felt like the opposite, where it was like, man, everything was going against them. Nobody could hit a shot. They dug themselves a 10-point hole because of the Giddy nonsense to start. And then, you know, they just, it was, hey, it's the fourth quarter. We need to tighten up our defensive rotations. We have a couple of defensive actions that I thought were just absolutely masterful when they knew kind of where Luka wanted to go with the ball. And they had Lou Dort basically kind of shape his defense and pushed him right into Chet Holmgren a couple of times. And it was like, and then, you know, now you got length and you got Dort, and it was just like, oh, it was just perfect defense. And then on top of that, you know, SGA and Jalen Williams, finally Jalen Williams offense shows up in the, you know, final 4 minutes there to help that Thunder team put that game away. And I, like, you know, a young team making those type of steps at this stage of the playoffs, I think is going to be pretty darn important. And they look the freshest and the healthiest of the teams in the West right now. And so, you know, I honestly think sitting on some Thunder 5-1 to win the West, I'm feeling pretty confident having seen them make that step forward last night.
There you go. That definitely rises back to life. Thunder 5-1. Yesterday I started the show by talking about the unbelievable change of mindset in the Nuggets Timberwolves series, how, you know, most folks believe that the Nuggets as defending champs were probably the favorite, and the market agreed with this favorites, besides the fact that the Celtics had an easier path in the Eastern Conference that made them shorter. But generally speaking, that the Nuggets were the favorite to repeat. Then they lose those two games at home against the T-Wolves. Everybody's minds completely shifts. I'm raising my hand. I was no different. And now we're back to 2-2. That's a game five that is tonight, and I'm curious where you stand on this with the Nuggets as 4-point favorites in this ballgame.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be, I think this one's going to be phenomenally close. I don't make this one 4. I'm at 2.5, so I would say Timberwolves would pass for me, but I haven't made a bet on this one yet. And really the answer is I can't tell you, you know, what the Timberwolves can, you know, like I can't see the future in terms of what adjustments Finch is going to try to make here. You know, you can point to the defensive intensity slipping a little bit from them from game 2 to 3 and 4. You can point to, you know, the offense starting to kind of get mired in the muck a little bit, particularly, you know, Karl Anthony Towns' ability to create, you know, some of his mismatches that were so important in games 1 and 2. And, you know, I'm not sure where the Timberwolves go to fix Like, do they focus mostly on the defensive side or the offensive side? And, you know, how do they particularly respond to the fact that it seems like the Nuggets have solved one small aspect of their defense where they were trying to keep Conley away from Jamal Murray? And I was with you 100% that the Nuggets losing those first two games, it was like, well, I guess that's it. Wow.
Yeah.
And it had less to do with the results of those games, which, I mean, obviously the results were important. And it had more to do with, like, you're just watching Jamal Murray out there. And you're like, well, this guy can't play playoff basketball. Like, he's completely hobbled. And for whatever reason, the 3 days off that they had between game two and game three, it was like he went into a time machine and he's perfectly healthy again, even though he's dealing with this calf ailment. And I think, honestly, if he can perform at the level we saw from him in game four, which wasn't like as good as, you know, playoff Murray has been, but certainly better than what we saw in the early part of the series, then, you know, the Nuggets are certainly live to get through to the next round. However, you know, the Timberwolves still have some pretty solid mismatches here. And I think you've seen the Nuggets kind of respond with a huge game from Michael Porter Jr. in game three, huge game from Aaron Gordon in game four. You're getting contributions from the bench that I think are somewhat unsustainable, particularly, you know, if you're getting 25 minutes from Christian Braun and you're getting, you know, you made threes from Reggie Jackson and Holiday, like, you're all a little bit on borrowed time. And I think that this is probably going to go seven. And my guess is that this is going to get distilled to just, what can Anthony Edwards do? Can he put on his Superman cape? Is Cat going to, you know, is he going to rise when, you know, they're in an elimination game? Because elimination game is coming, whether it's in game six or seven. You know, what does Cat do in that moment? And then in particular, like, has Jokic solved the Timberwolves defense? And I don't know that the answer to that is emphatically yes. I'm hopeful that there's going to be some opportunities to play some game six, game seven under here. But right now it looks to me like this, the total is a little low for game five. And if I was going to have any kind of play, I think I'm leaning into the Timberwolves getting Karl Anthony Towns more involved offensively in this one, being competitive on the offensive side of the ball, and having this game be somewhat decided in the late stages one way or the other. And, you know, I don't have any skin in the game for either of these teams, either winning this series or winning the West. I'm entirely against both of these squads. And so I kind of just want this series to get real physical and go real long. And, you know, whoever emerges being somewhat of a soft out in the early portions of the Western Conference Finals.
If your Thunder do get through, and that's a big if, obviously, that series tied up at two apiece. Yeah. But if they do, what's the series price against the Nuggets? What's the series price against the T-Wolves?
My price against the Nuggets is going to be about -130. My price against the T-Wolves is going to be about -165. And I think the market is going to be low on both of those. I definitely could see the Nuggets likely being road favorites in that series. And so I'm going to add more Thunder. And I think Timberwolves probably going to be closer to like maybe -120 pick at market. So I'm going to be Thunder heavy on both of those series.
Just to clarify, you said the Thunder would be favorites in both of those series?
For me, my numbers would have Thunder's favorites, but I think the Nuggets are going to open as market favorites if that's your Western Conference.
Finals. Interesting. Okay, we'll come back, get his thoughts on the Pacers and the Knicks. Then, of course, tennis and the Preakness. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest. And that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Wow. Smoke-free and spit-free, huh?
That's right.
Because, you know, you look around, some are smoke-free and some are spit-free, but you rarely get the smoke and spit-free together.
It's the Zyn way.
Yeah. It's the Zyn way.
They're Zyn it
to exactly
win
right.
It.
What'd you just say?
They're Zyn it to win it.
Okay? Kelly Bidlin, everybody. They're Zyn it to win it. Skill Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Drew Dinsick, kind enough to join us for a second segment at @whale_capper. For or courtesy, rather, Progressive Guest Line from the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast at NBC Sports. Real quick, before we get off basketball, I was saying off air that in the first segment, I was making the point that if anything, the Thunder are the more mature team. The younger team is the more mature team than the Mavericks, who, starting at the top with Luka, have been nothing but whiny little you-know-whats. Like, Luka just cannot stop. And you said what?
Well, they're kind of tilting the balance against them in this series because the Mavs in general spend so much time arguing with the refs after not getting a call that they're giving very, very straightforward, easy transition baskets to the Thunder. Yep. And I don't know if anyone is keeping track of this, but I got to tell you that being specifically the difference in this series would not shock me because it feels like there's a free 10 points for the Thunder in every game with just the time spent complaining to the refs.
Anything on the Pacers and the Knicks tonight? Game 5 back at MSG where the Knicks are now a 1.5-point favorite.
Agree with the market move, but I don't think there's a bet to be had on the Knicks right now. This is going to be a very close call. I don't know exactly what the Knicks can do at this point in terms of making any type of adjustment. I think they just got to stick with what they got, and that's going to be a lot of pressure to chew out there. I think his offensive contributions are clearly and obviously muted. The spacing issues for Brunson are real when he's on the floor, and really with any option, any combination they can come up with, unless Deuce McBride all of a sudden, from the previous series, shows up. But I think the Knicks are going to have to slow this down. They can't win a track meet with the Pacers. The Pacers proved that early in game 4 where they were just like, hey man, if we run, we can really get these guys to quit. And I think the Knicks are going to come out and play a lot more physical style of basketball. I think they're going to lean into the whistle a little bit, and you're going to get a pretty sloppy game here. And I think the under 217 is the best way to attack that and play a little alt under 207.5 as well.
All right, let's go to tennis. Tennis's second major, the Clay Court Slam, begins, round one begins. This is always funny with folks because the schedule that they put out Roland Garros is confusing. But it's going to be the beginning of not next week, but the beginning of the following week. So we're talking May 27th. That's when round one at Roland Garros begins. They're finishing up still. We're on the business end of the tournament in Rome currently. Let's just set it out for people who are landing on tennis right now. You have clay court tennis and Roland Garros specifically. So Iga Swiatek is a young Rafa Nadal. She is looking for her 4th French Open title and her 5th slam overall. Once that tournament begins, she is the favorite. I'm curious if you would look any other way. And more specifically on the men's side, this is different. We have a situation where we have injuries with Sinner. We have injuries with Alcaraz. Nadal may or may not play it. And then Djokovic had a bottle hit him on the head, and then he didn't look very good against Tabilo. So I wonder where you stand. Let's start with women first. That might be easier. And then talk about how you feel about men's futures right now.
Yeah, the women's side is substantially easier. Don't overthink it. Iga is peaking here at Rome. The quality of tennis that we saw when she flipped the switch on Angie Kerber and then carried through to Keys today was exactly where she wants to be in terms of prep and kind of form heading into Roland Garros. If she does not win this, I will be sincerely surprised. And honestly, I would expect that she could probably win this with a little flourish. Find a little long shot prop on wins without dropping a set type of deal. Cause the gap between her and the rest of the field on clay is massive when she is at her top form. And it looks like she's rounding into that as we speak. So, Sabalenka, the only other realistic contender, considering what we've seen from the rest of the women on clay this cycle. I think Goff is kind of a paper tiger. I think Rybakina is a huge question mark in terms of health and fitness. And so, it's probably going to be Sabalenka, Iga in the final. And if it's anything, the best chance Sabalenka had was in Madrid, and she almost got Iga in Madrid in the final there. And I think the conditions on Philippe Chatrier on the final Saturday of Roland Garros definitely lean in favor of Miss Swiatek.
Ben, is it time to take a shot at a long shot?
Without question. I don't think I've ever, in all of the years we've previewed, slam tennis, and it's going back a while now.
Yes.
The pool of contenders is pretty narrow. We're like, well, 3 or 4 men can realistically win this. I would say that's very untrue this year because Carlos Alcaraz's elbow injury, not only is that affect his ability to perform well on clay and get his, spin and, get a power out of his forehand. He may just not be able to go. Like it's still, he's we have no evidence to say that he's going to be anywhere close to top form for Roland Garros. So he being the favorite is amazing to me right now in the market. Sinner may not play also. He's apparently being recommended by his doctors to sit out the French Open and really kind of, you know, stay off clay for a while because of a lingering hip injury that they're trying to avoid becoming chronic. And honestly, the wording of all of those reports makes me like gives me chills, kind of like, oh man, like if this is like they're actually at this point in his career, at this age, they're worried about chronic injury for him. Oh, that is that is a massive red flag. So Sinner is a clear pass for me at the French Open. And honestly, if you want to get French Open bets in today, maybe the day, because we're gonna find you're gonna start like in the next week, next time we talk, Gil, on this show, like Alcaraz might be out, Sinner likely will be out, Nadal may be out, and Djokovic, who the in the world knows what's going on with him right now. Like, he is not playing well. The Tabilo performance was so suspect that it immediately forced everyone to become a doctor on head injuries and figure out,
that's right,
well, where did the water bottle hit him on the head? And how badly was he concussed? That
was
he
it the medulla oblongata? That's right. It was very specific.
Yeah. Yeah. Djokovic, don't get me wrong, he has had some wild, bizarre losses, and especially in the later portion of his career where he is just completely no-shown in matches. The data from that match against Tabilo, it was like...
he got destroyed. Yeah.
What? Like, I mean, it, like some of the specific numbers you saw were like so appalling that I had to go back and watch the match because I didn't even watch it in the first place because I didn't think it was going to be of interest.
Who did?
No, I had to go back and watch it. And like his balance is completely out of whack. Like I honestly, and he's the kind of player that does need reps to ramp up to be peak. And so he's likely an early out as well, which
not to interrupt you, Drew, but I want to get to the Preakness too. So give us a name or two pre-draw. would leap to mind for you as perhaps
it's going to be one of three guys, and it's going to be Tsitsipas, who's playing the best clay tennis of this cycle so far. It's going to be Zverev, who has the highest quality, highest ceiling, and has not won a slam, or it's going to be Ruud, who has made this final twice and ultimately may just have a soft path. I don't think Medvedev has a realistic shot, and I don't think you can go that far down the board looking for a long shot price to really kind of steal this one. So take your choice between Tsitsipas, Zverev, and Ruud, in my opinion.
I like that answer. Ruud is the sneaky freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. He is really the sort of one laying in the weeds.
If you made me take one, it's going to be Ruud, and it's only because the conditions really play into his strengths, and he has made the final here twice.
Preakness, you kind of called your shot before the Derby, didn't you?
Oof. Yeah. I think he's going to go off as the heavy favorite here.
By the way, Drew did not audibly moan. He actually named the horse. Could you repeat the name of the horse? Yes.
Muth.
There you go.
M-U-T-H. Muth. It's not Muth. It's not Muth.
No,
it's Muth.
It's not Muth.
It's Muth. Muth. Are they saying boo or Muth?
No one knows.
No one knows. Muth is a Bob Baffert horse. He was one of the best in class in the Kentucky run up. He did not run in the Kentucky Derby. You know why, Bill? I mean, excuse me. You know why? It's because Bob Baffert is suspended from Churchill Downs. Well, he is not suspended from the Preakness. In fact, he is a return. He won the Preakness last year with the National Treasure, and Muth got a great draw. He's the four. He's the inside speed. He's going to get a rail ride. He's inside Mystic Dan, the Kentucky Derby champ. He's inside the other speed in the race, which is all to the outside. So I think, honestly, Baffert's two horses in this one, Muth and Imagination, are probably going to be your two top choices. They set the pace. Especially if it's a cool pace, these horses could just pull away down the stretch and kind of be the deciding factor. If you want a long shot to look out for, I would look for Tuscan Gold. He is the Chad Brown horse that did not run the Derby and kind of fits the mold of the cloud computing and the early voting where he could ultimately be the spoiler. He's going to go off in like the 8-1 range, and I'll probably use him in some exotics. And if I have to make an official call, I'm going to have Muth over Tuscan Gold.
By the way, great job with all your reports. Great job wearing the hat during the Derby. You were awesome. You really were.
I do my best.
Drewski, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
All right, best luck, guys.
Drew Dinsick at @whale_capper. We're coming back. Oh, my God, NFL comeback player of the year. Oh, no, next.
I'm
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of Visa Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. I did the math for you. With Visa Pro, you'll gain instant access too. Our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI. 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis. Proven betting systems for professional handicappers. And our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
Yeah, we're slashing prices on everything from Adam Burke baseball articles to betting splits and more.
Slashing prices on Adam Burke baseball articles?
Wow. Yeah.
It's VSIN.com/subscribe. I lied to Adam Burke. I said I was only borrowing the Guardians for March and April.
Yeah, you did. You lied.
Total liar. We get tweets at Bidding the Book. Tom F, T for three. This is the best tweet of the morning. He said, bad form, Gil, sneak attacking guests, catching them by surprise. So great. Tim Lawson also texting in the same. He said, did that guy know he was on a live show, or did he think you guys were just chatting on the phone? Did seem like we caught him by surprise there. Nick G, off subject, but coming to Vegas end of June, staying at Aria. Besides coming to the D to see you guys, oh, that'd be great. Listen to the Vegas Lifestyle Pod. Definitely going to some of your restaurants. Any other recommendations? Kelly, you have any lately restaurant recommendations?
Good question.
That you've discovered of late?
No, nothing recently. Yeah. Nothing new, at least. Yeah.
You know where I haven't been in a long time, which I miss? Yardbird.
Good spot.
Fried chicken over Venetian. Brian M.
You could stay in the Venetian for 2 weeks and not leave, and be completely happy.
Oh,
there's so many good restaurants and stuff in there.
A lot of places you can say that about. Brian M. He says the correct French Open parlay in Poland is Poland meets Greece. He was joking. He says, or Kat Soccer. He goes, no, but really, Iga Tsitsipas. I don't hate the Iga Tsitsipas either. Again, just anchor it around Iga. She is Rafa Nadal. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from Austin, Texas. You can follow him at Spore on Twitter. He works for Fangraphs, and he's down with OTP, which he'll explain. It's Paul Spore, everybody. How you doing, Paulie? Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Can you explain what OTP is? We never really delve into that for you.
Out of the park baseball. So it is a baseball simulator. And frankly, if you're a betting nerd, and I say that with love, not slander, chances are you would like a baseball betting simulator. You can play lots of different ways, but the thing that I do is called Perfect Team, and it's a card collecting game where you collect cards of real life players from over the years for different stages of their career. You can get a rookie card for a player and get their best season for a player. You put a team together and it simulates against other human opponents. So Gil, we could both create a team of different players, and then the simulator would play us against each other. You have a season throughout the week. Every day is a month of games. And then on Sunday is the playoffs if you make it. And then there's one-off tournaments that you can play where maybe you can only use the silver cards, which are kind of like mid-tier level players. And then we go against each other there. So it's a lot to explain, but basically,
wow,
it's computerized fantasy baseball in a way. That's kind of the quickest way to say it.
I love it.
Remember that game?
Which game you said? Madden, you said?
Stratomatic.
Stratomatic back in the day, yeah.
Computerized version of that. And Stratomatic has their own computerized version of their game. But that's the probably easiest way to describe it to people that know what Stratomatic is.
Wow. And you are creating the player profiles, basically?
Yeah, all the content for that Perfect Team game there. So, you know, one week we'll release Ken Griffey Jr. Well, we're not going to put out Mike Trout the next week because that's another center fielder. And, you know, you want to give some time for the Griffey Jr. to kind of be the king of the hill there. And then you move on. So you got to space out the content from March to the following February and kind of plan how it fits in accordance with real baseball, too. I do stuff around the draft, you know, with rookies and prospects in July there. Playoffs, of course, October. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, a lot of puzzle pieces. It gives me a newfound respect, even though it's not the same thing, a newfound respect for the schedule makers. You know, we're always clowning those guys. Who made this schedule, man? Why is there only five games today? not easy when you got a lot of restrictions. You know, Taylor Swift concert coming into town. You can't book for five games over here or whatever. They got to deal with a lot of restrictions. I have to deal with a lot of different interesting restrictions like that too.
That was a spectacular imitation of me. Who made this schedule today? Why are there more day games? All right, you're wearing a San Diego Padres hat. Now, my favorite season win total, I had two I made. I made the Cubs over. Cubs off to a great start this year. They're now 24-18. They've sort of mellowed a little bit off to a great start. Now they've still that's
fantastic.
Yeah.
A 90 in pace.
Yeah, still right there, half game out of the lead of the NL Central. The other one I loved was the Padres over. And the Padres started slowly, and then I had Steve Fezzik text me and be like, "Oh, your Padres aren't doing so well." And I was like, "Pipe down, give it some time." And here they are; they're 500 now, big favorites tonight against the Rockies. What has gone right for the Padres, and how bullish are you on them right now?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty bullish. I'm mostly wearing this because I was out there this weekend. A quick little San Diego jaunt. Got to go set the record for the Petco attendance. All I'm saying is that they never set a record until I went.
That's right.
So, you want to say the record is me? That is your decision. But they never set a record until I went. I go. They set a record. Ergo, vis-a-vis, ipso facto, I was the record setter. Anyway, what's gone right for them? Quite a few things, in fact. And it was starting to look a little dicey early on. Again, like, are we going to have another season where we have to kind of wait for the talent to come through because we know the talent is there? No, it is finally coming through. I will say in a weird way, and I don't ever root for injury, but maybe having Joe Musgrove on the shelf a little bit, not bludgeoning the team every fifth day, has kind of helped. Although Randy Vasquez in his stead hasn't been great, but the rest of the pitching has. Dylan Cease has been amazing. Darvish has been amazing. Michael King's been more good than bad, despite having some bumps. Waldron's been up and down, and then Musgrove, of course, was struggling. Hopefully getting healthy will be great for him. Robert Suarez is, unfortunately only the second best closer in California, thanks Mason Miller there in Oakland, but, the best in the National League right now. Robert Suarez has been amazing. The bridge to Suarez has been fantastic. So they're not blowing leads. You know, remember their one run record last year, their extra inning record. The offense is going pretty well, and they've even got a few guys that are in a lull, like Xander Bogart specifically. I have no real concerns about him. Profar's been God tier and kind of picked up the slack for maybe some of the stars that aren't superstarring, right? Like Machado hasn't been great. Bogarts hasn't been great. And Tatis has been good, but not God tier. Well, Jerks and Profar is kind of picking up the slack for those guys. So they've got a lot of things working. The Luis Arraez trade was great. The fan base is a billion percent behind them there. That was a heck of a game. Of course, I will say that the record was set at least in part to the fact that the Dodgers were there and they had a very strong contingent. But this Padres team is good. I like what they've got, and we know that they'll remain aggressive. A big injury or two, like, they're still going to go out and try to replace guys. And so they're going to try to be there all year, even though they have to go up against that juggernaut Dodgers team.
Give me the team, either AL or NL, because someone was asking me the other day about the Oakland A's, and the Oakland A's have been absolutely pesky. They're 19-24, and you can bet specifically who's going to end up in the number six position for the playoffs in either league, which is obviously the last position, which is a really interesting thing because you can get really favorable odds on that kind of thing. Give me just generally the team that is sub 500 right now in baseball that you think is the best of all of them and the one that you have the most hope for heading into a postseason.
That is really interesting. I'll take one of the easy answers and say, like, I'm still pretty keen on the Diamondbacks, despite some things not going their way at 20-22. Corbin Carroll looks really off right now, although that new bat speed metric over at Baseball Savant says his bat hasn't slowed down. I know there was a lot of speculation there that with the shoulder, maybe the bat has slowed down a bit, at least from a pure velocity swing standpoint. It hasn't really, although this is the first year of that data. But then for a team that is maybe a bit more off the radar, you mentioned the A's, and they have been pesky. They've got Mason Miller as the best closer in baseball, and they are hitting bombs. But push come to shove, I just don't think they have enough horses. I'll tell you the team that could still do it. They started strong and then immediately hit a lull. I still am pretty interested in that Pirates ball club. They need to figure out some offense. Skeens, you know, Matt talked with Matt Brown in this slot last week. We were pretty excited about the Skeens debut. I feel pretty good about that. We told people, you know, you could still go out there and get a rookie of the year ticket. He didn't go out and have the best debut, but you saw how it works, right? Like, you it makes sense how this could definitely work. And four innings, three runs is hardly a bad start when you've got seven Ks, two walks. That's not too bad. He and Jared Jones, Skeens and Jared Jones at the top of that rotation are really, really strong. The offense needs to start pulling their weight. There was a lot of excitement about Cabrian Hayes coming into the year. He just recently hit the IL. They have to hope that when he comes back, he's ready to kind of do what he was supposed to do. O'Neill Cruz has finally started to turn the ship around. Jack Sawinski, Henry Davis, like they've got some pieces, but they would need to start pulling their weight. The pitching is pulling their weight right now. I do think the Pirates are still pretty intriguing. And then one other team I'll say is the Mets. If Kodai Senga gets going, when he comes back, they could find enough pitching. And I think they have a decent enough lineup too. So the Mets, Pirates, and then like I said, the Diamondbacks are kind of an easy.
Paulie, great seeing you. Appreciate it. Congratulations on all the gigs.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Gil. Take care.
All Spore setting records in San Diego. At Spore on Twitter. Paul Carr on the Premier League and more. A little Crawley Town. Next.